regret, remorse, pages and pages of life wasted and gone. But your story isn't finished yet. There's still time for edits and cuts. But before you start doing the right things, sometimes you need to stop doing the wrong things. My story, I decided to stop.
Well, good morning. Every single one of us has a story. Here's the question, though. Is God writing your story, or are we writing our story? When we write our story, we mess it up. If God writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling. If God writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling. The story of, if God writes our story, is the story of like God saved me. I was a wreck, and he saved me. God rescued me. God turned me from a wrong path to a better path. God loved me and forgave me. When God writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling. So we're in this series, part 2 of 4, of My Story. And the central point really for the whole series is this, what the decisions I make today determine the story we'll tell tomorrow. The decisions we make today determines the stories we'll tell tomorrow. So it's very important, the decisions that we make. Now last week, we started off with, I decided to start. Sometimes we just have to start something. And we gave a whole list of things of what maybe we need to start. And when I was at the service last week, I thought I saw a friend of mine, a couple that were in my youth group back in the day here, and they moved to Gig Harbor, and I thought I saw them, but you know, I can't really tell sometimes up here. And so I texted him this week. I said, did I see you at church? Were you here? And he said this was his response, if I can find it. He said, yes, we were there. And what I got from your message was that basically I'm fat. Thanks a lot. Some of you need to start an exercise and start changing your diet. Some of you need to start a discipline. That's what we're talking about, discipline of reading God's word and praying. I challenge you to just maybe start reading and praying once a day for 30 days straight. Start that discipline. Maybe a discipline of finances. We got to change our finances and stop overspending and start doing it right. And all these little disciplines we talked about last week, you can watch that message online if you weren't here. But we got to start somewhere. But today's central point, if you're taking notes, is this. What do I need to stop so that I can live the story God wants me to tell? What are some things that God wants me to stop doing so that I can live the story God wants me to tell? Now, like I said last week, don't pick 7 things you need to stop. Pick 1 or 2 that God wants you to stop so that you live a story God wants you to tell. Would you join me in prayer? God, I just felt led to pray right now because everybody in this room and those watching online, they don't need to hear from me, but we all need to hear from you. And Lord, I can't say anything with any power. I have no power. God, I call upon your power to speak to hearts today so that they hear from you, like this area of your life, this thing that you're doing, it needs to stop. And I pray that they would not only hear you, but then would obey you and follow through. So God, I'm just your messenger today. Use me, but may they hear from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a copy of God's word, turn to Exodus 18. Exodus 18. The story is now the Israelites have been taken out of Egypt, out of 400 plus years of slavery, and God used Moses to lead them out. So now the Israelites are in the desert. It's about 2.5 million people. That's a lot of people. 2.5 million people that Moses is trying to lead. It's hot. They don't have enough water. They have enough food and all the crisis that they have. And then one day, the father-in-law of Moses came to see his family, to see his daughter, to see the family, to see Moses. And he hung out with Moses for a day, and he made some observations. He saw that from morning till night, people, all sorts of people, were coming to Moses. And he gives his son-in-law some advice. We'll pick up in verse 15, because he says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this from morning till night, meeting with people? Verse 15, Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. That's why I meet with people all day. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. It's not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men who, from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times. Have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That you will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. And if you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Here's the key. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. His father-in-law said, you got to stop this. This is not good. That all these people from morning till night, every single day coming to you, that you will not be able to maintain this. It is so much a strain upon you and other people because you can't meet with everybody. They leave disappointed and the waiting line is incredibly long. This is not good. You need to stop this. Now, we can read this and go, I could have gave him that advice. That's obvious. There's one guy, 2.5 million people. It's impossible. But when we're in something, many times we don't see it as clearly as other people because we're in it. And we don't know if Moses had a power trip. We don't know if, as a man, I feel very significant. People are coming to me. They need me. They want my advice and what God would want for them. I feel important. I feel useful. I feel significant. We don't know if he just had control problems. Like, I like being in control. And I will give the best advice because me and God are tight. Maybe just from the goodness of his heart, I like helping people. I love these people, even though they drive me crazy at times, but I love them. I want to help them. We don't know the reason. The reasons really don't matter. His father-in-law said, what you're doing is not good. You need to stop it. You need to do something different. You need to spread the load. You need to share this. Now, the hard situations you need to deal with, and you still need to represent them, the people, to God. What if Moses refused to take that advice? What if he said, father-in-law, you can go back home now. I'm doing my job. Me and God, we're tight. Were you there? Did God use you to part the Red Sea? No. Drop the mic. Get out of my face. Let me do my job. What if he didn't take the advice? Because over time, father-in-law saw where this train was headed. Over time, he would have burnt out. And when we burn out, when we are overwhelmed, we make poor choices, we react poorly, and maybe the newspaper heading would have eventually read this. Moses quits, curses God, and goes back to Egypt. Like, I'm done, I can't handle this. But the good thing is he took the advice and said, you know what, I need to stop this. I need to stop doing this, and let's just get other people involved, over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens, and I'll just handle the most difficult cases. See, he had to stop doing something, or it would have led to a very destructive past. The consequences would have been bad for him and for the people. If we continue what we're doing, and as God brings to your mind and heart today, you got to stop this. This is not good. This is harmful. The road is going to lead to a place that you don't want to go. So is our heart soft? Are we willing, like Moses, to listen to wise counsel? I gave, I've taught this before, this principle, many times. In fact, the last time I taught it was in January at our Vision Sunday, just as we look forward to this year and what God would want for us. It's called the principle of the path. Andy Stanley came up with this. It's like, duh, I know this, but someone put it together that we can understand. The principle of the path, for your notes, is this, is that direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction determines destination, not intention. Well, I intended to do this. I did not intend for that. No, it doesn't matter. Our intentions are irrelevant. The direction we take, the path we take, the choices we make will determine a destination. Every path has a destination. And the scripture verse for this is found in Proverbs that says this, that the prudent, the wise, see danger and take refuge. They make a change. But the simple, the foolish, keep going and suffer for it. And we've all been there. We've all been fools of, it won't apply to me. I can handle it. It's not that much of a problem. It's really not a habit. I can stop anytime I want. But we keep going thinking we're the exception to the rule, and then we suffer for it. But the prudent see, wait, the path that I'm on, the direction that I'm going, there is danger, or someone tells you that there's danger. Someone with experience says, I've been on that path. I will tell you where it leads. They go, wait a second, I need to stop. I need to stop going in that direction, and I need to take refuge. You say to yourself, but I never intended to have my body fall apart, and now I have this thing, and I can't use my body, and I can't play with kids anymore because I didn't think it would happen to me. I could eat whatever I want and never exercise. I didn't intend to have this situation. It doesn't matter what we intended. We chose a direction that had a destination. Now our body is working against us because we didn't listen to advice. You can't eat that. You need to exercise. Well, I never intended to file for bankruptcy. I mean, if God really loved me, he would have stopped. No. It doesn't matter. God didn't force you to purchase things that you couldn't afford. God didn't whip out the credit card from your purse or wallet, floated in the air, and inserted it. Okay? No. But I didn't intend to file for bankruptcy. It doesn't matter what you intended. You chose a direction that had a destination. And you never stopped. See, I never intended to not have a relationship with my children. I mean, they want nothing to do with me. I mean, I tried my best to be a good parent. I never intended for them, to not want anything to do. It doesn't matter what you intended. You controlled everything, even the oxygen that they breathe. You tried to control everything. And as soon as they had a chance to get out of your house, they wanted nothing to do with you. But it doesn't matter what you intended. I never intended to get a divorce. I mean, we were just flirting and one thing led to another. It just out of the blue, I had an affair. I didn't intend to blow up my marriage. Doesn't matter what we intended. We never stopped. And we took a direction that had a predetermined destination. So we can play this online. I tell you, one thing about humans, and I'm guilty of this, we can convince ourselves of anything. We rationalize everything. And then we get the consequences, and we get mad at God. God, I can't believe you let this happen. God, no, I didn't let it happen. I wasn't the author of that story. I wanted to be. I was warning you. And you went down a direction that had a destination. Now there's consequences. So what do I need to stop? What does God want me to stop so I can live the story that is worth telling? Now, I look back in my life and I remember before kids and early in my marriage, my wife confronted me on words I used, phrases I used, and I can excuse it by, well, I kind of was in the construction field for years and you pick up things and that's the way you talk. And my wife was like, stop that. And I had to choose you know what? I'm not using that word anymore. I'm not using that phrase anymore. That is inappropriate. That should not come out of my mouth. And man, it was a habit. You don't even think and words would come. Doesn't matter. I had to stop it and choose to not use those words or phrases anymore. The last number of years, God has been talking to me, Barry, you need to stop sharing your opinion all the time, whether it's asked for or not. It's like, God, you told me to shut my mouth? Exactly what I'm telling you, shut your mouth. Not that you can't have opinions, and I'm looking at a bunch of opinionated people. If your heart is pumping, you have opinions. But God was like, Barry, just stop sharing your opinion. The frequency and the intensity, stop it. That's hard to do because I'm right. And people need to know that I'm right. Oh, I'm not the only one. A number of years ago, I need to stop checking my work email at home. And I even put it on my little email thing. If you email me Thursday afternoon on through the weekend, I will not get it. My stress level went down and my sleep went up because I would get in a habit of checking it and then I'd be stressed. Oh, I got to deal with that on Monday. It's much better to find out on Monday what I should deal with. So if you need an emergency, call Mike Best. No, I actually needed to stop that. And that was helpful. I needed for a period of time, and I've actually kept this up. I've stopped watching so much political news shows. It was not from God. My heart raised, and I'm yelling and screaming at the TV. But a number of years ago, I'm like, God said, stop watching that. I was in a bad habit about 5 years ago of comparing myself to other pastors and our church to other churches. And when you compare, you always lose. God was like, stop comparing. In fact, I want you to start praying for them. It's really hard to be irritated at a person or a church or a pastor when you pray for them. And every time it was rising up of, look at them, God's blessing them more than you. Lord, bless them. Bless them. I had to come to a point, I had to stop. About 3 years ago, I was very unhealthy. And one day I had to stop and look in the mirror. Really realize I do not like what I'm seeing. And I got to stop. And I had to back out of social media because people who loved me were confronting me with what I was posting and the attitude in which I was posting. And I had to stop. Say, I will not be that person. And the next day, I picked up the phone and called a counselor in Seattle and said, I need help. And I believe those steps and others allowed me to stay in ministry because I was right on the edge of quitting ministry altogether. That's not what God wanted. God wasn't writing that. It's part of my story. What do we need to stop so that we can live the story that God wants us to live. There's some other ways in scripture that God tells us to stop. Here's a few of them. In Psalms, it says, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to, say it, harm. We can read into this saying, anger's not sin, but you have a rage problem. Your anger has become rage. And what you're saying and what you're throwing and what you're slamming is harming people around you. Stop it. Stop it. Here's another one. From Isaiah, this is God saying to humans, take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Now, God is speaking to humans. And again, we can read into this that God sees everything we're doing. He's like, stop doing it. I see it. I see what you're doing. I see what you're worshiping. I see your priorities. I see where your money's going. I see where you're clicking when no one's around on the television channel or the computer or on your phone. I see it. Stop it. it's evil, and start doing what's right. That hits home, doesn't it, to us? God sees it all. Here's another one. Stop trusting in mere humans. God is saying to us, stop trusting in mere humans. And I love this. Who has but breath in his nostril. That's all they got, just breath in his nostril. Why hold them in esteem? Now, God is not saying hold people in esteem and respect. Don't respect anybody. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying you're respecting and esteeming and holding people up, and you trust humans more than me. I'm your heavenly Father. I'm a sovereign God, and you're trusting human people over me. Stop it. And that hits home to a lot of us. We fret and we worry and we freak out and we go to this person for advice, this person for advice, this person, da 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 da. And God's going, could you stop trusting in humans, trust in me. Trust, so stop it. Now the next verse, let me tell the backstory. Daniel was asked by King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret a dream that just freaked the king out. He's the leader of the known world. He is the ruler of the world. And he gets this weird dream about this tree, and there's all these bad things happen, and no one can understand. They brought Daniel in. When God told him this is what the dream means, Daniel was disturbed for him. And he says, let me tell you what it is. At the very end, he goes, now let me give you advice. That's pretty bold for the leader of the world, the king of the world, to say, here's the dream. Now, take my advice. He says this, King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past, meaning the habit. You're in a habit. Break from that and be merciful to the poor, perhaps you will continue to prosper. You know what his problem was? Know what his habit was? His pride and his arrogance. I'm the king of the world. I rule everything. I am awesome. The entire universe revolves around me. That was his big issue. And here's Daniel. Here's a captive slave saying, here's the meaning of the dream, and it's bad news. Let me give you some advice. Stop sinning. Stop being so arrogant and prideful. And Nebuchadnezzar did not take that advice. And I've said before, God gives us a chance to change. And he says, humble yourself before an almighty God. And if you won't humble yourself, I will do it for you. And when God humbles us, he does a thorough job. And he didn't humble himself. And he walked around like, look at my kingdom. Look what I built. And God made him like a cow for 7 years. And his nails grew long and his toenails grew long. They kicked him out of the palace and he grazed in a field like a cattle, piece of cattle, for 7 years. Until he realized, I'm not that hot. I think there's someone powerful than me. And from that point on, he humbled himself. In the New Testament, Jesus says this to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, this is after the resurrection, reach out your hand and put it in my side, stop, say it, doubting and believe. Stop doubting. I died, I was buried, I rose, and you're like, I'm not going to believe unless I have, some of you have plenty of information to trust God. But your pride is, well, I just need scientific proof. You get to the point where you stop doubting and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, sent from heaven to die on a cross for your sin and mine, and he rose again. When I was at college, they brought in the number one atheist in the world to debate my philosophy teacher, Dr. Habermas. And the number one atheist in the world said this, there is without a doubt pure historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he still didn't believe. Stop doubting and believe. Now, I love this, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Stop thinking like children. Now, in regards to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. Translation, grow up. That church, First Corinth, that Corinth church was jacked up. It was messed up. He was like, now with evil, I want you to be like infants. You know, I don't want you to experiment with evil because that's harmful. He goes, but you're acting like children. You're thinking like children. Act like adults. Grow up. Grow up. But stop thinking immature. So what is God saying? What is God saying to you? I don't know. But listen to him. I know when I listen to God, he's like, stop this in your life. It's for my best because he loves me. And he knows that I'm going to be on a path and it will lead to a destination and it won't be good. I have a friend, Dave, and Dave Smith, and I heard him tell me a story years ago and I've never forgotten it. I had brought him in for a junior high retreat, and he was our speaker, and he just had junior highers eating out of his hand. And he told the story of his little boy. His oldest boy was about 4 or 5 years old, and his boy's favorite game was red light, green light. Anybody remember that game? Red light, green light. His teachers use it all the time to control their kids, all right? You're lining up against the back wall. If you haven't played it, you're missing out. Your life is not complete. And so someone's up front and they have their backs turned to you and they say, green light, and you're able to move and the first one to touch the person. But if they say red light, you have to stop. If they turn around and you're still moving, you go back to the beginning, all the way back to the wall. So this little boy loves green light, red light, red light, green light, you know, and go, stop, go, stop, go, stop. Favorite game, played it all the time. He said one day, Dave said one day we were playing in the front yard, and the ball got away from my son, and it rolled down the grass and into the middle of the street. And his little 4 or 5 year old started running after the ball. It's a busy street. Out in front of the curb was a car, and the ball rolled right in front of it. And Dad quickly sized up the scene, and he sees a big truck coming, knowing that the boy was in front of the car. The truck wouldn't see the boy, and he saw it all play out. That's, you know, parents do. Everything slows down. And he called his son's name, no response. He called him again as he's getting closer, closer. And then he just instantly thought of the game. He goes, red light! And the son stopped running, and then he turned around and smiled like it's a game as the big truck went right where he was going to be. That's our Heavenly Father. I see where you're going, and I know what's coming. Red light. Red light in your relationships. Red light in your finances. Red light in your purity. Red light in your spiritual growth. You're going the wrong direction. You're going, and danger's coming. Danger's coming. But here's the reality. It's a sad reality, if you're taking notes. Sad reality is this, is we won't stop until it hurts enough for us to want to stop. We're dumb. The reality is we won't stop until it hurts enough for us to, hey, I think I want to stop. Ow, this hurts. I feel pain. This is horrible. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple, they just keep going and suffer for it. Sometimes we only stop when we get caught. We only stop when our doctor says, if you keep on this weight gain and this path that you're on, you're going to die. When we get in trouble, when our spouse gives an ultimatum, then our reality is shaken and we want to stop. Wisdom is this: stop before you pay a heavy price. That's wisdom. I'm going to change direction. I'm going to stop and take refuge before I pay a heavy price, a price that I never intended to pay. Never intended to pay. So what do I need to stop? so that God can write a story that's worth living and telling about? What do I need to stop that will change the direction of the story that my kids and my grandkids will say about me? So what do I need to stop? Like I prayed, I am not God. And every time I try to be God, I do a horrible job at it. You ever try to parent like God? Like you're the Holy Spirit? And we're horrible at it. But in my office several weeks ago, I was like, God, what do I say? What are some practical things? So God said, write these things down. So I'm going to read them, what God put on my heart, that I believe someone needs to hear today. Areas to stop. Someone needs to hear, and God wants you to hear this. You need to stop having premarital sex. You need to stop it. You're not married. I ordained marriage and sex in marriage, but you are violating my standard. You need to stop having sex because you're not married to that person. Some of you need to stop getting drunk. You keep justifying it. Well, it was a party. It was this. And, you know, I thought I could handle it. And you need to stop getting drunk. It is harming you. It is harming everyone around you. Some of you need to just stop drinking, period. Because of the wake that is behind you. Some of you need to stop worrying. You say you trust God, but you really don't. Because anything happens and you freak out and you're worried and you're stressed and you have anxiety and you lose sleep, stop worrying. Some of you need to stop gossiping. Most of the time, we don't have all the information. We have part of the information. And when we share it with others, it's called gossip. It's sin, and God hates it. Stop sharing your perspective on the story. Someone who is not involved, and you're not part of the solution or part of the problem. Some need to stop complaining. You complain 100 times every single day. Nothing is good enough or right enough. And everybody knows that you're a complainer. And it's an odious behavior. Some of you, like me, need to stop sharing your opinions so frequent and so often. Some need to stop being so judgmental. You're not God. You can't read their heart. But you come to fast conclusions and fast judgments. Some need to stop being a slave to social media. You're in front of some screen for hours on end, wasting time and ignoring relationships. You have a habit. You have a control issue with social media. Some of you need to stop looking at everyone's Pinterest and start your own interest. Because when you're on Pinterest, envy and discontentment is surfacing. And the issue isn't Pinterest, by the way. Some of you need to stop eating junk food. You're eating yourself to an early death. Some need to stop trying to control everybody and everything. You have a massive control problem on steroids. And people want to get away from you. Some of you need to stop overspending. Some of you need to take the credit cards and cut them up and not use any credit until you get your finances in order. You spend more than you make and causing massive stress and a horrible future. Some of you, God's saying you need to stop watching porn. Yes, stop watching porn. On your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, late at night, God sees everything. And when it's revealed, it will be horrific. There are tools there's tools at hand to give you victory. Some of you need to stop watching certain channels on your TV that are inappropriate or ungodly, or going to movies or entertainment that's inappropriate or ungodly. Stop watching things that you would be very awkward if one of your pastors was watching it next to you. Some of you need to stop positioning yourself to always look good to others. That's pride. Some of you need to stop holding a grudge. You have held a grudge against a friend or a spouse or an ex-spouse or a parent. They may even be dead, and you're still holding a grudge. You are warped with bitterness, and God wants to set you free. So we need to stop being so greedy and wanting, I got to have more and more and more. Some of you need to stop manipulating relationships to get your way. Some of you need to stop having a bad attitude when things don't go your way. In parenting, it's called being a brat. Some of you need to stop being so prideful. The world does not revolve around you, nor cares that much about you. And the last one, some of you need to stop running from God. He loves you and has been warning you and calling you to come to him. Well, that's the list that God gave me. In the first service, there was a huge sigh of, oh, glad he's done. You know what God does oftentimes? He's probably told some of you out here something that wasn't on the list. Listen to your Heavenly Father. In Hebrews, we're looking at a portion of this verse 2 for the whole series, but here's verse 1, give some context. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, chapter, you know, before that was the Hall of Fame, all these amazing people who went through hard things, much harder than us, and they're cheering for us. He says, you're cheering for us, but let us throw off or stop everything that hinders and the sin, not 10 of them, but the sin that so easily entangles us. There's certain things that God's trying to write your story, but you got to stop certain things and get them out. You're tripping up, falling all the time. He says, and let us run. That's what God wants you to run, but you can't. Run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. Here's the verse we're looking at this series. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who's the, say it, the author and perfecter of our faith. Who is writing your story? God says, I want to be your author. I want to write your story, and it'd be a life worth living and a story worth telling. But there has to be a break. There has to be a stop on certain things. Now, what I'm not talking about is behavior modification. I just got to change this behavior, because behavior modification doesn't last. Behavior modification is there because we got caught, because we're in trouble, because my wife said I better not anymore. Behavior modification will not last. What we're talking about is spiritual transformation that I hear from a holy, righteous, heavenly Father who loves me enough to say, please stop this. I'm warning you. I'm pleading with you. And that we hear a spiritual transformation from God who says, you may think it's impossible. The habit that you're in, the spending patterns that you're in, the attitude that you had, what the baggage that you've got from your parents, you may think it's impossible. We just sang a song, he's the God of the impossible. I want to change you. I want to mold you. I want to transform your story. But you got to stop. You got to listen to me. Red light. Red light. A truck is coming that you can't see. Well, we listen to him and then do what he asked us to do. We got to take our pride and put it down. And humbly say, I surrender. Be my author. Write my story. Let's pray. Debbie, head bowed and eyes closed. I believe that someone has been hearing from God, several of you, where God is saying, you need to stop. And today you're like, I need to decide to stop. And God clearly spoke to me. in one area, whether I listed it or not, you know that it was from God who loves you, but he's saying very clearly, you need to stop this. Now, I'm going to make it a little uncomfortable for some of you. I'm going to say this in just a moment. I'm going to have you stand if God has spoken to you. And I don't need to know what it is, but if God has spoken to you to stop something, I want you to stand where you're at. Put your pride down and get your body up. That God has said to you, this thing in your life, you need to stop. You need to stop. Thank you. Again, I don't need to know. I'm not the author of your story, but your Heavenly Father is. And if you're standing, why don't you look at me? Just look up. Everyone else can keep your heads down. Thank you. It's not easy. Thank you. But whatever God has been talking to you about, he loves you enough to have some guy up here saying hard things. It's not me. It's your Heavenly Father. So whatever it is, stop. Stop running from God. Stop messing bad things with your relationships and your finances or whatever it is. Do something now. Don't just have, okay, a Sunday, third Sunday in July, and then you didn't know change. The prudent stop where they're going and seek refuge. I want to beg you, plead with you, encourage you. Stop it. And don't go back. Let me pray for you. Would you bow our heads? Lord, thank you for those who are standing. You know what you have been talking to them. And the area, the issue, whether it was mentioned or not, God, thank you for the wisdom to show us what we need to do. But now, Lord, I pray for those who are standing, that you would give them the courage then to do it. Wisdom to know what to do, and then the courage to do it. May they get help. May they stop. May they hold themselves accountable, whatever it takes, so that they can change the story and let you be the author and write their story, and they can look back, man, back there is something God talked to me and I stopped it, and I'm so grateful. So God bless them, empower them. I pray. You all may be seated. God, I ask that you would continue to use this series, and that we may hear from you and then allow you to be the author of our story. That would be a life worth living and a story worth telling. Lord, help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus and all the power associated with his name, we say, amen.